This morning's scripture is Luke 14, 7 to 14. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor. In case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move higher up." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or and sisters or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous."
This New Testament scripture is from the Epistle of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 1 through 8 and 15 through 16. Let mutual affection continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all. Let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he himself has said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." So we can say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me?" Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Verse 2, some have entertained angels without even knowing it. When I started classes in social work at the University of Pittsburgh 22 years ago, just about this time of year, I was touring the building. I went to the Cathedral of Learning. If you've ever seen it, it's a pretty magnificent structure. Classes are held in the Cathedral of Learning in Pittsburgh, a wonderful structure, Art Deco style in Pittsburgh. I went to the 21st floor where the social work classes were to check on the classrooms. And I think it must have been lunchtime because the lights were on, the offices were open, but nobody was in them. I walked around and came across an older man in his late 50s. Walking around, he was slumped over pushing a mail cart. He was going from office to office, dropping off the mail. And I politely said, "Hello." And he asked me my name. So I told him. And I said I was a new student. I was just walking around checking things out. I asked his name, and he said, "Grady." And I said, good to meet you, Grady. I told him that I had a limited amount of time. I wanted to get going, so I went ahead and started my tour. But he stopped and said, I've been here for over 30 years. And I said, well, that's great. You must like it here. And he said, oh, I do. A lot of good people here. And I said, well, I hope I have that same experience here while I'm here. And I did. It was pretty good there. I politely excused myself and resumed my tour. About a week later, I learned that was the Associate Dean of Students, Grady Roberts. Among his many professional responsibilities that he, holder of a PhD, had, was he liked to walk around and deliver the mail to the staff. I was glad I was nice to him, at least. But I confess, if I'd have known who he really was, I would have probably paid more attention. I would have, God forbid, pandered to him a little bit. I wish I'd just taken a look at the faculty and staff roster better before I went in on my little tour. The author of Hebrews writes, some have entertained angels without even knowing it. I'm no Greek scholar, but the Greek word used here is philonexia, which means love of strangers. This is the Greek word for entertained. It also has to do with hospitality. So it could be translated, those who've shown hospitality to people have actually shown hospitality to angels and not even known it. Some scholars believe that the book of Hebrews was written to a specific Jewish audience. These were Jewish Christians, people who had been born Jews, converted to Christ, but were still living in Jerusalem, and they were experiencing immense suffering and torture at the hands of the authorities because they did not like this new religion. And if that is what was really the audience of this book, if that's the correct assessment, the audience, having been raised Jews, would have been raised with the story of Abraham, the founding father of Judaism. Previous chapters of Hebrews describe Abraham as a model of faith, and I've preached on some of those, chapter 11 in particular. But as part of this story, the audience would also know, part of Abraham's story, the audience would also know a story by heart from Genesis 18. And I'll read it to you right now from Genesis 18. When Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men were standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, my Lord, if now I've found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. Please, let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under a tree, and I'll bring a piece of bread that you may refresh yourselves. After that, you may go in since you have visited your servant. And they said, so do as you have said. And so Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, prepare three measures of fine flour, knead it, and make bread cakes. Abraham also ran to the herd, and he took a tender and choice calf and gave it to the servant, and he hurried to prepare it. He took curds and milk and the calf which he had prepared and placed it before them. And he was standing by them under the tree as they ate. And they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, there in the tent. And he said, I will surely return to you at this time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Abraham was not told that God's angels were coming. These were just three visitors to him. But something about him made him decide to treat them as more important than himself. He provided a place for them to wash up. He and his wife and servant fed them bread, tender beef, veal. The text doesn't lead us to believe that Abraham had any knowledge of who these people were, much less realized that these were God's angels, even much, much less that these angels would offer a prophecy that would be in line with the prophecy God had made him chapters earlier, that he would be the father of a great nation, even though he was old and his wife was old and they were childless together. One gets the impression that Abraham liked to treat his guests well. Period. This was just what hospitality meant to him. A visitor would show up and he would treat him well. And he's not alone, mind you. This was the Middle Eastern way in that day and age. Treat people well, show them hospitality. Old Testament scriptures time and again tell us to treat the foreigner with love and respect and care. And to treat strangers like their friends and welcome them into your home and show them love. And the New Testament doesn't do anything to contradict this. Jesus expanded this concept, in fact, in the Gospel of Matthew. And again, I'll read from the scripture in Matthew. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he'll separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he'll put the sheep on his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, you who are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? And then he will answer them, truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And those will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is Jesus talking. From Genesis to Hebrews, throughout the whole scripture, through the Gospels, God has given us an invitation to use our God-given imaginations when dealing with people less fortunate than ourselves. That person that you see that's poorer than you are, that could be an angel, scriptures tell us. That could even be Jesus. Scriptures tell us. And so some artwork through the years has been made that I'm going to ask Greg to share. These come from, the first three come from Fritz Eichenberg. This is the second one I was going to have. I guess I got them out of order when I sent them to you, Greg. But here is, this is the first one. This is called Christ in the Breadlines. This is a wood engraving by Fritz Eichenberg. Fritz Eichenberg came over from Germany. He was born in Germany, a Jew, and the Nazis came to power, and he saw the writing on the wall and got out of there. Fortunately, he had academic credentials and found a home in the United States to teach. But he also made these engravings. And where he became a Christian, he just began searching, and he found himself very comfortable with the Quaker faith, and so he found a home there. And he began doing Christian-themed engravings, such as this one. That's a bread line, which people saw quite often during the Depression. And in the middle, you see Jesus, as one of the least of these, So when those people at the end of that bread line get to him and serve him, they're serving the Son of God, not just another, as they would have called him, hobo in the bread line. And then the next slide would be that the one, yes. This comes about during the era of civil rights. This comes about in the era, which actually didn't end that long ago, when lynching was legal in this country. It's only in the last few years that they've actually banned lynching in this country for good. And so that's somebody, African American, being crucified. And it's called the Black Crucifixion. And you say, well, Jesus wasn't black. Yeah, well, you've seen some of our artwork, right? Jesus isn't white either. Have you seen some of the artwork about Jesus? European countries tried to make him look as white as they were. No, he was a Jewish man, if you want to be really accurate about what Jesus looked like. Not that anyone knows what he looked like, but he was a Jewish man, so his features should reflect that if you're really trying to be accurate. But the fact is, Jesus doesn't really care about the color anyway. Jesus is in the least of these. And when people are put down by Jim Crow laws, when people are lynched, when people are mistreated, those people that are doing the mistreating are mistreating Jesus. The next engraving, the final one from Eichenberg, this is the homeless Jesus. And you can see that fairly clearly. There he is huddled with the shivering homeless people with his arms wrapped around them. You know, he identifies so clearly and completely with those who are suffering. And then a final piece of artwork that is a sculpture that was not done by Eichenberg. And this appears at the Divine Mercy Church in New York City. And if you don't know the sculpture, you might just look and think that's somebody sleeping on the bench. This made the rounds in the news a few years ago. But as you walk up to the sculpture, you can't make out the person's face because to keep warm, the person has the blanket over his head. And you really can't see his hands because he's just huddled in there. But his feet are sticking out. And if you get up close, you see that there are holes in his feet that Jesus had on the cross. And so the church thought it was consistent with their mission to put this sculpture on their property, to talk about seeing Jesus in the homeless, in the people that are suffering. Thank you, Greg. Artwork like this gives you a chance to think about using your imagination as you walk around this earth and you see people and maybe see them differently. I mean, early in Scripture, you see that everyone's made in the image of God. But how much imagination do we have? Do we have enough to imagine that everyone that we see that is poor and hurting might be the Lord himself? Or might be one of God's angels, as Abraham experienced. People who are of infinite worth to God. Someone that seems like a humble mail deliverer in a social work department might be something a lot more than you thought. Just some words to close with from Sting. At the still point of destruction, at the center of the fury, all the angels, all the devils, all around you, can't you see? I encourage you, all of us, myself, to look around and help somebody. That's really what all this is about. That's all the scriptures are telling us to do. Help somebody. God gave you an imagination, and I encourage you to use it. There may be an angel with you right now.